The gospel of today has a very important lesson for all of you, for all of us, for the families, also for us priests. Often, Martha gets the criticism while Mary gets all the praise. In fact, there's a very old tradition that compares Mary and Martha to the contemplative life versus the active life, as if this would be a contradiction. If this were so, being active, this would mean having large families with a lot of kids could be interpreted as an obstacle to intimacy with God, which is clearly wrong. So Martha is worrying about so many things. The problem is she did not observe a fundamental structure in the Christian life. Not against hospitality. It is necessary. But there's a Christian structure. And that means listening comes first, then action. And Martha was not listening. Look, Mother Teresa was a very active person. Many, many hours she would dedicate to the sick, to the helpless, and so on. But in the morning, the first thing she did was Mass, adoration, contemplation. That means listening to God. John Paul II, the same thing. Early in the morning, he prayed hours. Our Lord, during the day, he was very active. Our Lady, I'm sure she was also very active. She had to prepare the food, had to go to the well, getting water, maybe milling the wheat, I don't know, but she was also very active. St. Joseph was a carpenter, had to deal with customers, had to get the wood, had to get his furniture ready. They were all very active. But they distinguished themselves by first listening and then action. If we are not used to listening to God, the noise of the world, the activities of the world will flood us and we'll lose God. So therefore, always first listening and then action. So I hope we all find in the morning time to listening to God in silence. What do you want of me, O God? And then during the day, all the time trying to figure out what is God's will in this specific situation. How should I speak? How should I act in this or that situation? And then we become contemplatives in our daily busy lives. This is absolutely necessary. Today, everyone must be a contemplative to a certain extent. Otherwise, the world will flood us, overwhelm us. Now, today's preaching schedule foresees consecration to Jesus. What is the meaning of consecration? We can also say covenant, dedication, entrustment. It means actually all the same. First of all, God's action is always first. He's the one who takes the initiative. From all eternity, you and me were in the mind of our Heavenly Father and destined to be consecrated to Him, being set apart for Him. It means that He offers us a tremendous gift, that is participation in His holiness and life to the point that we become truly His children. It's not just a nice phrase, we are truly God's children. And this plan did not change with the fall of Adam and Eve. Rather, as St. John states, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. So the Father sends His Son, who consecrates Himself for our sake in His incarnation, taking our human nature. Do you know what it means for God to become man? St. Paul says, He emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross. There's an infinite distance almost from God becoming man. So much he lowered himself, we have no glimpse what it really means for God. This is because God is love, what we heard in the first reading. Only love can do something like this, can empty himself, pour out himself. Only love can do that. So God espoused himself to our human nature. He took on that was specifically ours and made him take it on to himself. And now he's God and man for all eternity. It's like a marriage covenant. He espoused all of us to himself, that we become children of God. Before the incarnation, the history of creation, mankind was doomed to death because of sin. With the incarnation, the history of darkness, hopelessness, God-forsakenness changed into a history of salvation. Heaven once again became possible through the consecration of Christ in his incarnation. He committed himself to our cause. Now, what's the meaning of our consecration? Our consecration, yours and mine, is a response to God, to Christ's consecration, to the Father's call. We respond and consecrate ourselves to belong to the Lord in a new way. In fact, this is the new way, is the only way by which we can truly become who we are and are to be. And there are two elements of this consecration. There's an objective element, and that happens in baptism. Baptism is our first and most important consecration. The Catechism says, baptism is God's most beautiful and magnificent gift. It's a tremendous gift. St. Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, we who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. What does it mean? It means that God treats the baptized person as if the baptized person himself had suffered Christ's very death on the cross with the self-same love of Christ, and so now rightly shares gratuitously in his resurrected life. It's a gratuitous gift, what we received. Through our union with Christ, we are destined and commissioned to the glory of God and the salvation of the world. And there's a radical meaning to this mission. Through baptism, we do not belong to ourselves anymore, but to Christ, who imparts his life to us. We all know that it is not enough just to be baptized. Rather, the new life we receive in baptism must unfold in our daily life. So you all know we receive the three theological virtues, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the moral virtues in baptism, but they are like a seed. And now in daily life, they need to unfold, come to maturity, need produce fruits. And this now, when we commit ourselves to this life and embrace it, we call subjective consecration. So we need to live out in our daily lives that all our thoughts, words, and deeds are in fact consecrated to God, are God-pleasing. And the Blessed Mother is a perfect example through a perfect response. Fiat, be done to me according to thy will. And in the Magnificat, she sings, my soul magnifies the Lord. What does magnifying the Lord mean? It means that God has the first place in her life, that he allows him to enter her life, enter her time, enter into all her activities. This is now the response of Our Lady as a consecration to God. And this is what we need to imitate, Our Lady's fiat, be done to me according to thy word. Now we are weak, and so God gives us very powerful aids to live out our baptismal consecration. First of all, the sacraments, the liturgy, the Eucharist, is a tremendous gift. Confession, again today, 2 to 5, you have all the opportunity to go to confession, to receive this tremendous gift of God that all your sins are forgiven and you can start anew. Then prayer, sacrifice is so important, voluntary sacrifice, and then the sacrifices God sends us. These are two types of sacrifice. We need to embrace this sacrificial life. Without it, we cannot be really live our consecration to God. Every sacrifice is a renewal of our consecration to God. Then the practice of virtue. But then also consecrations like those to the Sacred Heart, to the Blessed Mother. These are sacramentals, but they can have a tremendous impact on our lives. Also the renewal of our baptismal promises. So all these sacramentals can have a tremendous impact on our lives. Pope Pius XI, when we speak today about consecration to Jesus, it's consecration to the Sacred Heart especially, he states that through an act of consecration to the Sacred Heart, we devote ourselves and all things that are ours to the Divine Heart of Jesus, acknowledging that we have received all things from the everlasting love of God. What does it mean in the end? So we make a conscious act of our will, a strong act of our will. Yes, Lord. And this is a form of consecration which then gives us special graces from God. It's endorsed by the Church. It's sealed, so to say. Now, when we open ourselves in this way to God through a formal consecration to the Sacred Heart, then God can now pour out His graces more effectively in our lives. When you really strive then to live out your consecration, your prayer life will become more profound. You will receive more strengthening in your daily struggles. You will receive also a lot of graces when you hand them on to your family. Remember when Our Lady, it was actually like an act of consecration, fiat, be done to me according to thy word. The word became flesh, and now by receiving the word of God in her womb, she became now the mediatrix for whole mankind. Now salvation was possible for the whole world. She becomes now the mediatrix of all graces. And so, when we consecrate ourselves through a formal consecration to the Sacred Heart, also, a lot of graces come now into our lives, which we then mediate to our family members and to the whole world. Remember yesterday, in the first reading, when Abraham traded with God. Yeah, if there are 50 just, if there are 40, if there are 30, if there are 10, God was willing to spare a whole, a very big city because of 10 just persons. That means holy people. And the same goes for us. When we allow ourselves, when we magnify Him in our lives, let Him enter into our lives, when we live out our consecration, we'll be mediators not only to our family, but maybe to a whole city. If there may be 10 good families in a large city and it's a holy family, they make a tremendous difference. So all this is then part of our mission. But there's a key word in all this, and this is cooperation. We can ask God for a lot of graces, and He will give them. We make an act of consecration, God will respond, but then we also need to cooperate. How? Greater commitment, greater faith, greater hope, greater charity, greater service to our family members. And then we can, like Our Lady, become mediators of a lot of graces to other families, to whole cities, to our country, to the whole world. So let us live out our consecration to Jesus in an ever more profound way. And this will open heaven not just to ourselves, but to all, to the whole church, and to all people in the world. All for the sacred and Eucharistic heart of Jesus, all through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, and all in union with Saint Joseph. Amen.